Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Today, we're going to talk about The Voice. Anybody ever seen the show The Voice? So these four chairs don't look unfamiliar to you, right? I'm going to show this what this looks like in your life, but I want to show you to you in scripture first, okay? Genesis 2:25, and it says this, Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Now this, they were literal in the literal sense. They were naked. They didn't have any clothes on and they felt no shame. And you put some clothes on today, all right? You walk around with your clothes. But in the principle of the sense, what we're talking about today is they had nothing to hide. I'm not talking about just talking about all of your past, but what they felt was evident. No, they didn't ask anybody to read their mind. They were open with each other and they felt no shame. Adam felt no shame coming to Eve and say, listen, I know you're beautiful and I ain't the only one that thinks you're beautiful, but I have my insecure moments. Adam felt no shame in that because he knew Eve wouldn't throw it up in a moment of heated battle. All right. Yeah. Genesis 3:1. Go to my next one. It said, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees from the trees in the garden, but God did say we must not eat from the fruit that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. The serpent said, you won't certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I want to contrast to you the voice of the accuser, which you see in the scripture, versus the voice of God. Let's go to my first slide here. Now, the voice of the accuser, let me give you the goals of the voice of the accuser. It wants to destroy you. Make no bones about it. Satan is not your friend. I don't care how good it feels where you are. He wants to kill you. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. Then he wants to destroy your destiny. He wants to destroy credible relationships by destroying the image of credible people in your life. Tommy did an excellent job opening up service, and he had some variety. Can you imagine years ago, Tommy wouldn't have been able to do that freely, and I wouldn't have been able to come behind him freely. I think society has done an incredible job of distorting the image of race relations, where you can't see a person beyond their skin color. Look at your neighbor and ask them, did you ask to be born the color you are? So why would you hate something God created? You didn't ask to be the gender that you are. But we have distorted images. It's called prejudice, where we prejudge people. And let's get beyond color, because some of us size people up based off their attitude. Oh, I know you. I done seen you, and you don't really even know that person. So images are destroyed in credible relationships, and that's Satan's goal. His next thing, what is Satan's strategy? Somebody say accusations. 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 Here's what he does. He works through a person to bring all problems and no solutions. Have you noticed that's wrong? Have you noticed that's wrong? Yeah. Have you noticed? And by the time, I know it's wrong, but here, can you help me fix it? He's not a fix-it person. He just points out problems. Matter of fact, the voice of the accuser makes a living off somebody else's wrong. You all right? The next is this. He twists truth. His strategy is he twists words and truth. Notice the serpent went to Eve and said, did God not say? Here's what the accuser does. Y'all watch him in your life. They never get the two parties being discussed at the same table. They'll never get you in the same room. They'll say, oh, you know they said that about you. You know he said this about you, but they'll never bring the two parties together. They disappear when everything goes down. Notice when God was confronting Adam and Eve, I don't know if the serpent was really anywhere around. The next thing is this, it builds oneself up without even mentioning themselves, because the voice of the accuser is very subtle. The next thing is this, it looks for an entry point. It's very subtle. It looks for an entry point. That's one of its strategies. It has a player's mentality. A player is one who subtly, they don't have their own. They just make a living off what you got. You all right? Not man enough to get their own woman. They just take yours. Or the vice versa. Y'all all right in here? You start to look at healthy sources crazy because of their flaws are exposed. It builds himself up by tearing others down. The actual entry points that Satan works for in our life is a point of insecurity where you have a doubt or weakness in your life, or a point of vulnerability where you have disaster or failing in life, or a point of interest. The voice of the accuser can even get you distracted by your dreams because you would try to do them yourself instead of letting the one who gave you the dream fulfill the dream he gave you. Anybody ever been there before? Well, you try to live out and work out the dream that God gave you. And God said, if I'm God enough to give you the dream, I'm God enough to live the dream out through you. The accuser doesn't just use our weaknesses. He pulls us away sometimes in our strength. And then the accuser, an entry point is a point of struggle. Look at your neighbor and say, we all dealing with something. Look on the other side and say, we all dealing with something. Can we get it all on the table with no fear, no judgment? The reality is every single last one of you in here is dealing with something. You're covered under the blood, but you're dealing with something. I strive for an environment where we can talk about issues without you feeling condemned or judged. Because the reality, all of us, I'm going to say it again, are dealing with something. Some stuff is not sin. Some stuff is weight. I deal personally with fear. The same token, I can be a strong man of faith. I can find myself just shut down. She sees it. Locked down in fear. I can struggle with depression. Yeah, me. I love to shout. I love to praise God. But there are moments I struggle with depression. I can struggle with procrastination. I'm not the cleanest person in the world. I put stuff off. All of us in here are dealing with something. Some of you drink. Yeah, I'm not talking about to the point of just excess, being drunk. Some people, you like sex and you're not married. And you just, man, y'all got to smile, do something. Some you cuss. I mean, you cuss. I mean, you good at it. I mean, you know that person that, like, you don't cuss, but you can call, I mean, when you cuss them out for a minute, like, you good at it. Some people, you laugh, but you controlling, you're manipulating. Some people smoke. Some people drink. Some live off the natural herb from the land. All of us are dealing. No, I want to create in this fashion because I don't want you to feel like, oh, man, I'm the only one dealing with this. That's Satan making you feel like you're the only one dealing with something. Man, if the truth be told, we pulled a cover off on half our life in here. You'd be like, you too? Man, how you know? You, for real, you? You worship so wonderful. I didn't know. I was laughing with Deacon Hale this week. He and I were talking. And Deacon Hale said when he was at a certain point in his life, and because of the environment he was raised in, Deacon Hale said he smoked, and he said there was a deacon from the church that came up, and the deacon kept coming around, and every time the deacon come around, he put a cigarette out, and the man finally said, you know, Gary, cigarettes are expensive. Go on and smoke the cigarette. The reality is it created an environment for them to talk. Do you know you will never get delivered or help from something you hide? Now, I ain't telling you tell everybody, because some stuff you got to have. There's some stuff that only me and Barbara will ever know, not Deacon Scales or my mom. Just me and Barbara going to know it, because at the end of the day, we going to love each other, but I'm their son. You all right? All right. So there's some stuff you got to learn to come out and honestly talk to people. Can I tell you this about this? People's reaction in your head is never as bad as it will ever be. I've been there. I can ask my dad right now. I lost 2 scholarships in school. And the second one I lost in grad school, I had so much pride that I scrambled and got student loans myself. And they never told. You know what he found out? He found out when I preached it in a sermon. But if I would have came to you in that moment, would you have made me come home? Probably not. You would have helped me through it. But I was so scared of disappointing him that I didn't live my life. I wasn't living my life for trying to please him. And the reality is his job was to raise me up to live my life. Yeah. Some of us are the same way. We're not living our life. You're too busy trying to create a facade for people that really don't care that much that anyway. You all right? Really, the reality is the people who love you, there's nothing you tell them that will surprise you. Satan wants to keep you in hostage to what you keep private. Yes. But what you pull out and put on the table, there are people in here who can pray you through. Yes. They'll walk you right through the word, and it ain't as bad as you think it is. You all right in here?
Yeah.
I stayed a little long on that when I wanted to. What are Satan's tools? His tools are pride. Look at your neighbor and say, are you teachable? A lot of times people don't say anything to you because you'd rather quit than change. If you were ever corrected, like I've been there, and I'm probably there in some instances now, we get defensive when we get corrected. Because we do so many things well that you feel like if somebody points something out wrong in your life, you're just being negative. No, I just want to see you better.
Yes.
Pride is driven by fear, fear being controlled, fear not being seen as unique. And you justify your wrong because everybody else has issues. Now, I said it earlier. Everybody's got issues, but it don't make the issue right.
That's right.
Let me make sure I make that clear. Just because we all have them don't make them right. It just means we all have something that we're working on. The next thing is that Satan uses enticing words. He says the right things with no love, and he has the wrong agenda. His flattery is false, and it scatters people without rallying them. I'm talking about the voice of the accuser. The voice of the accuser is condemning. It talks at you versus to you. It talks you into doing something, then makes you feel stupid for doing it. Satan ever talked you into something? Man, go on, do that. Man, nobody will ever know. And then you do it. Man, you're the dumbest man I ever seen in my life. Like, how on the one end you going to talk me into doing it? And it's like, come on, man, you can do it. Man, that's all in you. And then as soon as you do it, he make you feel stupid for doing it. He is a trickster. He's subtle. He's a deceiver. Many people preach with the voice of condemnation. Now, that's one thing to preach conviction that right is right, wrong is wrong. But it's another to make you feel this small for doing it and never build you back up. It doesn't preach at you. It lifts you up. It preaches to where you are and lifts you to where you should be. Can I tell you this? And look at your neighbor and say this. God does not need police. He has the Holy Spirit. Look on the other side and say, God does not need police. He has the Holy Spirit. I want to speak particularly to some of us Christians who've been saved for a long time. Somebody say long time. It is very easy to preach at people for where they are. And you think it's your job to bring the rod of correction to every church and to every house. And when the reality is we all dealing with something. Here's the thing I know about police. Even police have a jurisdiction. A police from Nashville can't go to Shelbyville. All of us have a jurisdiction that we police. And I found out I got enough jurisdiction in my own house to try to worry about. That if I live out the word of God, God will give me opportunity to spread his word. But it's a shame that if I can correct everybody else and I can't correct myself. Here's my goal as a preacher is to talk about the direction you should go in. And let you know that there's certain things that if you do them, they'll hinder you from getting there. Y'all right in here? Another thing that the enemy uses is envy and jealousy. You will never receive from what you don't respect. You will never receive from what you do not respect. And sometimes there's subtle envy. I had a lady I work with, and she gave our boss such a hard time, just a ridiculously hard time. And I finally said, why are you pointing out this woman's flaws? And she finally said, I should have been the supervisor. If you feel you should be where a person is, watch this. You'll never respect them, you'll never support them, and you'll subconsciously undermine them.
Yes.
What are the results of the voice of the accuser? Number one, you're heartless. You have no trust, no hope, no expectation. Then you're hostile. An environment that is hostile has no transparency, it has no trust. If you put your stuff out there, it will come back so nasty and so demeaning. It's retaliatory. It has a defensive mechanism. What do you mean when somebody tries to bring something to you? And it's an environment of hiding. In Genesis 2:25, they went from being naked and not ashamed to the end of Genesis. They went to a point where they covered themselves and they even hid from God. So hiding is a result of the voice of the accuser. Go to my next slide here. What happens when you listen to the voice of God? What is the voice of God? What does it breed? It breeds transparent relationships where you are open with no shame. I can tell you how I feel. I can be honest about where I feel with no shame. It builds you up. It gives instruction. When God speaks, it is not the end of the world. He always gives instruction behind everything that he shows you.
Yes.
I hear people say all the time, man, God showed me this, and now I'm so panicking. God will never show you something to have you up at night, and you can't sleep for a week. With everything God shows you, even if it's not the best, he gives you instruction on how to handle it because he sends his peace with it. Here's my question. If God spoke to you, did he give you his peace to deal with it? When we were, this Wednesday, we were talking about communication, and God is an excellent communicator. Chap was talking about how to communicate to your spouse. He said the best, you got to learn your spouse to know when the best time to tell them. So the best time to tell them you don't have money is not in the grocery store, right? The best time to tell them about something bad is not on your date at B. McNeil's or Maggiano's or Ruth Chris. You enjoy the moment. Here's the thing about God. He knows exactly when to tell you something. He's not going to catch you off guard in a moment when you're in a high and God throws something negative in there. God knows how to settle you, pull you back by yourself, correct you, or bring people into your life because God is an excellent communicator. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows how to communicate. What is God's strategy through the voice of God? How does he do it? He empowers you versus pressuring you. Satan pressures you to do what he says, but God empowers you to do what he says. He's open and honest about options available. Satan, like when his voice of the accuser is like that car salesman to make you feel like if you don't get this deal, you will never have it a day in your life. Well, I'm not an impulse buyer, so you're not going to get me to buy anything on the dime like that. God is never like that. He gives you options. You can choose life or you choose death. Jason, if you choose this way, this is what's going to happen. But I will tell you, you can do it your way. But many are the plans of a man's heart. But it's only my purpose that will prevail. And God will step back and let you choose your own destiny. Because he empowers you to do what's in your heart. Yes. Here's a great thing about God. Anybody ever made some mistakes in here? Can I let you testify a minute? Anybody ever blew it? Can you just wave your hand and testify if you ever blew it? Matter of fact, go on and stand up and wave your hand and say, God, thank you for your grace. If you've ever blown it. Lift your hand and say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you. Great testimony service. Great testimony service. You know what grace is? Grace is not condoning your wrong. It's giving you another chance to do right. You ever think about that? It's giving you another chance to do what's right. What are the tools of the voice of God? It's honest and straightforward conversation. It's truth that liberates you. It's love that drives a conviction. It's a recognition that we've all made mistakes, but it creates an environment, hear me, where it's okay not to be perfect. Let me say that again. It creates an environment where it's okay not to be perfect. It is very easy, particularly those of us who have kids, because you want perfection out of your kid. And I was looking at Isaiah the other day. I was looking at his grades. I said, Isaiah, next time you're going to have this and you're going to have this. And the Lord took me back, rewind, to the second grade when my mama had to go up to the school. Yes, and had to look in my desk. And my desk looked like the trash can that was the one that lived in on Sesame Street. And mama got me, you know, y'all forgive me. You know when those spankings where she just held me up by my arm and it just dangled there. She got me good that day. And I'm saying, Isaiah, you're going to have a 4.0. And the Lord said, you do know you didn't have a 4.0 in the second grade. It's very easy to judge others by their actions and yourself by your intentions. So when you are creating an environment, just take a look back to remember where you were. You got a son that's an athlete. You took off a couple plays. Don't make it right for him to or her to. But just remember, you didn't live a life of perfection when you're demanding perfection out of them, but you give them the grace to do and be all. Let them know, okay, it's not okay to settle. But when you do, I've been there too, and here's how you get out of it. So you create an environment where it's okay not to be perfect, and it's not condoning mistakes, but it's not stopping because of them. We don't condone mistakes here at BFF, but your life don't stop because you made a mistake. I'm going to let you know that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets right back up again. We are the church where we may fall down, but we get right back up. We don't keep you in your mess, but we'll recognize, yeah, you're in a mess, but we're going to get you right out of that mess and get you right to the place where God wants you to be. Because here's the thing. God told me this one day. You're no good to me on the bench. I need you in the game. An environment like this is not driven by fear. Can I ask you a question? If there were no hell, would you still choose heaven? Well, I didn't even tell Barbara. It's Valentine's week. Here's my first shout out to you. Barbara, I would marry you again and stay married, not out of fear of being by myself, not out of fear that somebody else would be with you, or not out of fear that somebody else be raising Isaiah, taking him to shoot basketball and play soccer and all that stuff like that. I would do it again because I want to. Yeah. Valentine's week. You stay with a person not out of fear of them leaving, but what can we do to make it right since you're going to stay? Because some of us live our life on the edge, just trying to get somebody to stay. But you don't have to beg somebody to stay who don't want to leave. When you understand that person doesn't want to leave, how are we going to work it out versus waking up each day, you still here? Y'all right? What are the results? What are the results of the voice of God? The voice of God gives you a refreshed perspective. You know what I want people to say when they leave BFF? Man, I got a different perspective of God. He's not angry at me. No. When you repent, God loves you. He's angry at sin. He's not angry with you. There was the image of manhood is restored. Authority is restored. I was with a buddy once, and the police pulled up. He's like, man, what they want now? I'm like, what are you talking about? Your condition reflects how you will respond to authority. He'd been in trouble before by the police. So when the police showed up, he started shaking. I believe what they say on the car, protect and serve. Your response to authority reflects your condition of where you are. My response to God reflects that my life is not perfect, but I know he is. You all right in here?
Yeah.
So you got to check your current condition. The next thing is a transparent environment where you're naked and not ashamed. You're free to share. Anybody ever had surgery in here? When I was working for a physical therapist, and I got an illustration to do here, they were working with a burn victim. And they said, Jason, can you come help us? I touched the lady's scaffold, and I touched her, some of her utensils, and she got upset. She said, can you just step to the side and just watch? I'm like, what did I do? You told me to help. She said, you touched my sterile equipment, and you have desterilized this entire environment. Can I tell you that when God gets ready to correct you, when God gets ready to clean you up, there is no negativity, there is no dirt, there is no condemnation in that environment. It's all love. Because if you get you try to clean something with a dirty tool, you have staph infections and all those things that set up. And I believe that God wants us to create through a church and through your house and through wherever you are, a clean environment so you can deal with the mess and that it's not worse as a result of you dealing with, but that it's better. Does anybody want a clean environment? Can I challenge you? You create it through the word of God. You should create it through not judgment, but building one up in love. All right. The next thing is your confidence is built and God vindicates you. I want to do an example here. Earl, can you bring me a chair? I want to show you. Anybody seen the show The Voice? And you know, they sing their heart out trying to get the judges to turn around. Well, we're going to illustrate The Voice here this morning. We're going to do it through two scenes. One is the voice of the accuser. That's the first scene. Then the voice of God. Can my judges come from the voice of the accuser? Dedrick, can you come sit in your first chair? Trista, can you come sit in my second chair? Rocket, Dick, and Olive, you're going to sit in my third chair. And Shatiqua, you're going to sit in my fourth chair. Kenny is the contestant for The Voice, and Kenny's got a decision to make. Here's the thing about it. Let me tell you Kenny's situation. This is not real life. It's just he's illustrating it out. He's a guy having a tough time on his job, and his marriage is on the rocks. His performance is lacking in both his job and marriage. He hits a point where he's got to make a decision. He has so many voices in his head, and he has responsibility to fulfill. He feels God is calling him in a direction that excites him, but he's uncertain of it because nothing in his life is working or flowing right. He's got to figure out what to do. If he stays where he is, death is certain. But if he moves forward, he could find fulfillment. In this situation, if you go to my last slide here, all of us got a decision to make. The first thing is you're going to hear a word. Now you got to respond to that word. You got to decide the thoughts that you're going to think. Then you got to decide how you're going to respond to the word that you believe. And then you're going to make a confession. And then you're going to have a lifestyle based off that confession. The first thing that happens in Kenny's life when he hears a word and God says, your life is about to be blessed, the voice of suspicion shows up. And I want you to notice where suspicion stands. Suspicion is always in the back of your head, like, what do they really want? No, what God really mean? What's really coming behind this? So suspicion stands behind you. And after you get suspicious, he like questioning, yeah, preacher, I hear you talking, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. Then the chatter starts. Here comes the chatter. And the chatter is right in your ear. You're trying to hear God, but all you hear the chatter talking crazy. Now, you know you can't do that. How God gonna bless your marriage? Y'all just fought on the way in here. Look at it. She ain't even looking at you right. She don't love you. Look, she disrespect. The chatter will make you seem like everybody else's marriage is so much greater. You see the way Pastor, Sister Lady Barbara ran up there and kissed him. You don't live with me. My socks on the floor right now. I ain't put my cup up from last. It's still sitting right beside my bed. Satan will paint a picture of what your wife and spouse is not doing. I'm not the standard. The Bible is the standard. Don't get it twisted. Y'all right? I'm just trying to get back in good. That's all I'm doing. I'm just serious. No. The next thing, y'all seen that Snickers commercial? Notice when the voice of the accuser is talking, Kenny ain't said a word. Because you don't have a voice when you listen to the voice of the accuser. Let me show you what you look like. Your alter ego comes out. Because you have no authority. You live a life of begging and pleading. Baby, don't leave me. Lord, don't let me get fired. What your life looks like when you have no authority. Please don't leave. Don't fire me, baby. Baby, just stay here because you. Yeah, don't watch Mississippi. All right. You have no authority. You're just begging and pleading. You're just barely getting through life. You. Matter of fact, that's you end up living heartless because you have no expectation. After things don't work for a while, and just like you had the alter ego of James Brown singing, please, here's the song of your soul.
Talking to me, yo. I mean, after all the things that we've been through, after all the things we got into, yeah, you did some things that you ain't told me. Sure, I did some things, but that's the old me. Now you wanna get me back and you gon' show me. So you walk around like you don't know me. It's the old me, I got new me. In the end, you're still so lonely. And the night I hear him talk, told a story.
So you end up heartless. You have no authority. No heart, no drive, no expectation. Suspicion is in the back of your head. And the chatter is always in your ear. That's what the voice of the accuser has you surrounded. And notice you hadn't said a word. Thank you, guys. You can have your seat. Oh, we're not through. But I want to show you what happens when you listen to the voice of God. Okay, good, perfect. Let me show you what happens when you listen to the voice of God. You move from James Brown, please don't go, to I lost my soul, to a woman so heartless, to things begin to change and you begin to respond differently, you begin to respond to God's word, watch what it looks like.
I trust you, God. I believe in what you would have me to do, God. I need you right now, God. I put all my trust into you, God.
And your faith begins to rise, and the first judge turns. Yeah. Notice in the voice, all you need is one turn. But here's the thing with God. He has the ability to win his entire heart, and things begin to shift. After your faith begins to build, then you begin to do something different.
Father God, I obey in what you would have me to do, Father God. I'll move in the direction that you would have me to move, Father God. Father God, I just ask for you to be with me and live through me, Father God.
Your obedience now triggers God to turn for you. And now obedience moves something. And now that you're moving in the direction of God and you're speaking the word of God, here's what your prayer sounds like.
Father God, I pray to you right now, Father God. Father God, just to be with me. And for thanking you for carrying me through these things, Father God. Father God, I put all my trust and everything into you right now, Father God. I do pray.
Instead of being intimidated by the mountain, you begin to, with authority, speak to your mountain. I declare my family will be what God says. I declare my life will line up with the word of God. And now that you have faith and you're walking in what God says and you're speaking with authority, something begins to shift. You begin. What do you begin to do, Kenny?
I praise you right now, God. I give it all over to you right now, God. I thank you, God, for being just who you are, Father God. For touching my life, Father God. I know that you are able, Father God. And I thank you right now, Father.
And right when you begin to praise and worship God, something begins to shift. And the thing that God wants for you begins to come. Y'all come get him. Faith, get him. Obedience, get him. Authority, get him. And I want you to take him down. And here's what I believe that God wants us to echo out of a spirit. Praise team, you guys take it. And audience, I want y'all to jump in with us.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. Oh, he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Oh, don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's a yeah.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.